evening, if you can hold some form of a health talk to follow your expo, that is ideal. So when you're promoting at the booth, you can say, tonight at 7 o'clock, we're doing a talk on sunshine. And they can come, and you can actually run your health expo, you know, for a series of nights in 1 week. And each night offer a talk on the different booths. So that's another way of being able to do that. You know, in general, the health expo should be used as a tool, as a kickoff for other events to come. And so have some programs planned. You're going to be putting through lots of people that you'll see on a very short time period. Use it wisely. Have programs planned, get them to register for them right then and there. And that's the way to get the ball rolling. So talking about that, what are some uses? The Health Expo, it's providing people just to walk in. They don't have to make appointments. They just come and check it out like a fair. And it's medical screening to people who are short on time. So busy people, a lot of times if you advertise that there's a series of cooking schools coming up or a health workshop, a lot of people are too busy to think that they can register and actually come. You have to kind of intrigue them a bit more. And so by them coming and checking out some of their results, they'll suddenly have an interest because now it's personal to them. And so again, they'll be able to follow up with future programs once they've experienced the screenings and they become now good candidates for your future programs. In fact, strong candidates for your future programs. To kick off a series of more detailed informational programs on different health topics. So there's not a booth here per se to work with someone who's depressed, but you can offer a depression seminar, how to reverse depression, and have that ready to kick that off. Example, a future program outline. Try to have sort of an idea of which program is going to lead to the next program. And so for example, your health expo, you know, time they finish at the end on trust, and you're talking to them now with their health age and what they've come out as, you want to give them ideas. Okay, you're telling them they need to exercise more, they need to eat better. How are they going to eat better? One of the best ways is then to do a cooking school. And cooking schools are fun. People like them. When there's food involved, you'll get people there. And so that's why I've learned to use food as my trick to bring people in, is food. And so use it. It's a great tool. And start off with a cooking school. Get people to come taste the food, and they'll be excited. And now you can offer other seminars, such as a stress seminar, the depression seminar, relationship seminars. Anything that you feel can affect health. Don't, you know, make sure you're thinking broadly. Don't think narrowly. You know, relationship seminars, people say, well, why don't you teach a relationship seminar? Well, if you're not in a healthy relationship, does it affect your health? Definitely, definitely. Everyone's experienced one time or another a heartache, and it affects your health, doesn't it? I can tell you firsthand, it's affected me in the past as well. And then, you know, kind of take it from there. Forgiveness seminars. There's one called Forgive to Live. Some of you might have heard of it through Dr. Dick Tibbetts. Excellent seminar. He used to, he would work at the Orlando, Florida hospital, and he would work with people in helping them to forgive. And by doing so, they were able to reverse their high risks of heart disease. They were able to lower their blood pressures, lower some of their cholesterol levels. And it was just through understanding forgiveness and not harboring these feelings inside. And you can teach the same course. He has a PowerPoint presentation and workbooks to go with it. Forgive to Live is what it's called. Yeah, with Tibbetts. Excellent program. So I've held that before as well. Offer these different ones. And then perhaps you might want to start a little type of a club, a health club or a veggie dinner club. Do that once a month, once a quarter, whatever you're comfortable with. Make it a little potluck. Get people to bring a dish and then teach a specific theme that time or whatever. And keep the people coming regular every month that way. Now, a health expo such as what you see here, it's not easy to throw together necessarily. When you're going to do it on a large scale like this with many booths, you need a lot of help and a lot of volunteers, and you need to make sure you do your advertising well. And to do one really well, you need to give yourself about a good 3 months to plan it. Because there's some things that are involved. First of all, use the opportunity to speak to the people in your area, in your community, some of those that are in leadership positions or authority. So go to your local city hall, your health department, and so forth. Let them know you're doing this as a community service, and they will join with you as a team. And that can mean a lot of times it can mean sponsorship. It can mean just support in advertising. You know, better yet, the main focus is, when you're trying to do this, is for what reason? Ministry, witnessing, spiritual reasons. And if they can see you as a Seventh-day Adventist, that you are involved in caring for your community, that is going to go a far ways, and it's going to make a big impression. So begin with that. Next, choose an area where you're going to hold this event. You obviously, from what you can see the setup here, you need quite a large space. So you need a hall. Perhaps in a mall, there could be a store that's empty. You can use that. Go to the mall, manager administration, and ask if they would volunteer or donate the use of an empty store for a day or two, or a week, or whatever it is that you choose to do it. You might have to rent a hall. There's school gymnasiums, hotel conference rooms. There's lots of options, church gymnasiums, and so forth. But if you can picture what we have set up in here, it doesn't give a lot of space between the tables. And if you're starting to put through 100 people at a time, it can get kind of congested. So ideally would be the whole size of this room, at least, if you're going to be putting through 100 people. Determine, should say, a budget, and find sponsors for supplies and advertising. So again, you know, find out when it comes to supplies and being able to get volunteered some of this stuff. You can go to places like your fire hall, and they will sometimes come and set up the booth and do your cholesterol testing for you, your glucose testing for you, and sometimes even your blood pressure station for you. The Heart and Stroke Association, you could get them involved. And you know, it doesn't mean you have to stick with just this. You can expand it even larger and have the help, you know, Heart and Stroke Association have their own table with their own banners. Have the Cancer Society have their own table with banners. You know, getting the community more involved is ideal, and it's going to make it cost effective for you. Recruit volunteers and train as needed for each booth for setup. It's really important to make sure that the people running the booths know what they're doing. Because as the people are going through, you want that real professional environment and feeling to happen. You want these people to trust you and know that you are giving this good service and you're not just winging it. So making sure that they're trained, they know what they're doing at their booth, kind of do it, even a trial run if need be. Prepare a well-written article for the newspaper. Speak to your local television and radio stations about announcements for free. Prepare and deliver flyers, posters, of course, all sorts of ways of advertising, right? And because you're not charging for it, a lot of these, you know, these ways of advertising work out that they're willing to do it free because there is no cost to it. Schedule a training session prior to the actual event. So if it's a fairly large one, spend an evening all going together, open it up to your church members perhaps, and run your church members through it first and give that a try, and then you're ready to go to open to the community the next day. So the order of the actual screening sessions, this is the order that's suggested with this particular health expo, but of course you can change it to make it fit for you. But the first one is nutrition. And so when they first walk in, you would give them a paper, and on this paper is where each station records the measurements for that personal individual. And they would carry that paper with them and give it to the attendant at each table for them to fill in their results. And so first thing up when they walk in, you do the height, you have a chart that goes on the wall, weight, a scale, so you do their weight, and then you figure out body fat, what percent of that is body fat. The second one is sunshine, so you would talk to them there about the benefits of sunshine, encouraging them to get lots, and at the same time, we're doing blood pressure tests at that table. Third one is water, and at this table, you can make it as large or small as you like. This is the table we're going to talk about the benefits of water. Give out water if you can get a water company to donate water. You could give out small bottles to each person. You could have a large water cooler with cups, however you like. Give everyone some water. And then you can talk about cleaning inside and outside the body, but also healing the body through hydrotherapy type treatments. And you can have some live demonstrations going on to the side of your table, doing the hot foot bath and this type of thing, and talking about it and having handouts on that if you like. Exercise, this is where we do the Harvard step test, and you do need a stepper, and basically the person is going up and down quickly and you're doing it based on their pulse and using a timer. Air, the peak flow meter to see what their lung capacity is, how forceful they are able to breathe, and so this is a place you're going to encourage them that how to breathe deeper, to maybe get more exercise, any ways to expand and use the lungs more thoroughly. Rest, this is the favorite one, and this is for the massage. And so we have set up usually two tables, and we try to get men volunteers to do men and women volunteers to do women. And you would give a 5-minute back massage to them. And by the way, if you're doing it for a week or 3 days or whatever, to encourage them to come back, just tell them they can have a massage every night. Before the meeting, they can come and have another free massage. Temperance. And this is where we have a program that we punch in some information based on their lifestyle, their diet, and it comes out telling them, according to what the information they give us, what their health age is. And if they were to correct some of those areas, what their health age could be. So it's a real motivational type situation for that. And the last one is trust. This is where you want a couple of people that are familiar with nutrition, perhaps even get a medical doctor, as long as he's up on nutrition as well. Get a nutritionist, a dietitian that believes in what you're trying to teach. And this is where they would counsel with them one-on-one. Not for a long period of time, maybe 5 minutes the most per person, or it just gets too long. But basically they're gonna review this page that comes from the health age, telling them to encourage them, just try to do a little more exercise, looking over their results from all the different boosts. And say, your pulse is up here a bit, as you exercise, this will come down, this will bring down your blood pressure a little bit. Do you find you have a lot of stress in your life? And this is also where then those people can encourage, we have a depression seminar coming up, you might enjoy something like that, and register them right there. You've got that one-on-one trust with them. And it goes from there. And whoever is working those nutrition booths, I really encourage that you choose people that are going to work with you in future programs. Don't just bring in a doctor to do that and then have them walk away. Because that person actually, out of everyone, they're going to almost bond with that person the most. They know that you see all their personal stuff. They're kind of confiding in you. And if those people are at the next programs, it's going to be an encouragement for them to come, because now they have that connection with that familiar face, but a little bit of a bond. How many volunteers? So I've kind of probably scared you by saying to prepare around 3 months ahead if you can, because sometimes you need a lot of volunteers. It, again, depends how big of a scale you plan to do it. So a small expo is what we would consider 100 people or less. And for that, you would need about 15 to 20 volunteers. But if you're going to be doing at least 200 people, you need at least 40 volunteers. That's a lot of people, isn't it? So each station needs at least 2 people, and then you've got your hostess, and it just goes on. And so it is important to have at least 1 coordinator to oversee the whole thing, and then maybe have a few leaders under that to organize the actual health expo. So let's review some of the stations, description of each one. So when they first walk in, this is what they would receive. And it's just the size of a half a sheet of paper, and you would welcome them and give them this paper and just explain how they can make their way around the different booths. And if there's too big of a lineup at one booth, they don't have to stay in the lineup. They can actually jump booth to booth if they need to keep things going. Temperance station, as I mentioned, this is where they're gonna have their weight, their body fat, and so forth, and literature handed out on temperance. And so there is a sheet as well that explains at the table to the person working it what the healthy body fat ranges are, so you can talk to them about that as well. The nutrition station, well, this is our glucose and cholesterol screening station, if you're able to do that. Now, if you're doing this as a church project, through the conference, I've worked with a lawyer on putting together a waiver-type form that'll protect you and the church in the conference. So if you are doing this, be sure that you contact either Irma or myself to send you that so that you're able to photocopy that and make sure that you have each participant sign that just for protection. You may choose to either charge a small fee to cover the cost of your strips for this, which is fine. You can suggest a donation amount. Or like I said, be in touch with the fire department or the health region or something who may actually come out, send volunteers and help do it, and then you don't even have to worry about the waiver form. But at least maybe they'll donate the equipment to you as well. Sunshine Station, this is for the blood pressure. If you can have somebody, a nurse or someone who is used to doing the manual blood pressure testing, then that works well because that's the most accurate, but you can use the automated blood pressure cuffs as well. It can be higher. They say that if a person walks even just across the room, it can put up their blood pressure. So if you're using the automatic one, just make sure they're sitting, resting, have a little chat for a few minutes with them, and then go ahead and do that machine. So it does work well still. You don't need to have nurses at that station. You can purchase these even in London Drugs or wherever, so they work well. The water station, as I have mentioned this already, with the hydrotherapy and then giving out water. The Harvard Step Test, here you'll be talking about the importance of exercise, giving them a handout on that, and we will have a paper there that explains how to do it. And I think I talked about this one already, but the tubes do cost us about 35 cents each. We bring them up from the U.S., and that's why the price is what it is. So if you can work with, you know, a respiratory technologist or a hospital or a doctor, someone that can get these tubes and donate them to you or get them at a less expensive price, again, ideal way to go about it. But, you know, as much hands-on type things you can do with people, the more fun it is and the more interest there is. I know for myself, I own a machine that does grip strength, how tight you can do in each arm. And, you know, so I have that. I have another one that does the body fat, but it'll also do your BMI, your body mass index. You know, so you can add any of these type of things in. The anti-stress massage is a 5-minute massage per person. And it's just the back massage, arms, that sort of thing. And as I mentioned, the women do women and the men do men. I have a DVD I'm going to show you, and then maybe we could even team up and you can practice on each other if we're warm enough. And other successful type options to add in, maybe have a kids' corner. Now, I will mention we have a children's health expo as well. That's the same kit. And but it's geared to children. It's got animal pictures on the banners, and you're doing fun little games at each of the stations to attract them. The food pyramid, for example, and they get to put the food up where it goes on the pyramid. And it all ends in trust with singing Jesus Loves Me at the end.
So is the conference only?
Yes. There's two sets that we've got now. Yes, we have a small rental fee on them because each of these are a couple $1,000 a kit. Each of these banners are worth about $300 each. And so we rent them for not very much actually, just a few $100. And you can get all these banners, and it'll even come with the scale and the health age CD and the everything, you know, even the breathing testing. So all that comes together for that. And the children's one is separate, so that's an option too. And you know, you can run both. You can run the children's and the adults, but you have to have a lot of help and you need to be kind of on the ball, two different rooms going kind of thing for that. But if you didn't want to do the children's at the same time, just have sort of an activity corner so that while the parents are going through, you can have a, you know, off in a corner here where they could be doing little crafts, they could be coloring pages, talking to them about health, maybe having healthy snacks or water or whatever for them as well. And then you can invite in other professionals. When we did, we had a dentist actually come and set up a booth and talked about dental hygiene, but also talked about how diet and lifestyle affect the health of your teeth. And so dermatology is another one, dermatology screening. So there could be a dermatologist there. If people want to say, well, you know, what is this spot? Is this okay? And he'll tell if it's cancerous or not, or if it should be, well, I mean, checked for cancer or not, or no worries, or that sort of thing. Vision screening, bone density testing. So, you know, use your imagination, make it as big as you like, but you can also make this as small as you like. You know, don't get discouraged and think, I'm one man, how am I gonna do all this? You know, I don't have a big church, I don't have a team. Then don't go this big, but it doesn't mean you can't do it. Just go with one table, have a television with a DVD playing in one corner, offer a blood pressure test, you could do that, do the body fat test. You can work one-on-one with people and show them upcoming programs and still get them to register. So make it as big or as small as you like. And you know, when it has anything to do with health, and if it's free, and it's hands-on, you've got the attraction. All right, so this is the Children's Health Expo, as I was mentioning, and some of the places you can consider doing that is schools. Up north, we have a couple of people that want to go into the schools and do it. And really neat idea, set it up in a school gym, put all the kids through it, classroom by classroom, take it down, set up the adult one, and all the parents come in the evening. So, excellent opportunity. Exhibitions are excellent to do this at. It's my goal to eventually do it at the Calgary Stampede and Edmonton, so we'll see how that goes. Once I get all you wonderful people trained, and then I'll have this huge team, and we'll be able to do that. Any questions thus far? Yes?
Was the conference okay with us doing something like this on Sabbath, or is this something that should be done
on Sabbath? On Sabbath is fine, because you're not charging, it's not a business, right? And you are helping people, you're offering service, and it is a ministry, so absolutely. In fact, one of my goals is, I usually have, some of you might have attended my annual health retreat weekends each year, and so my next one, my goal is to have a health expo in the middle of the afternoon of that weekend and invite community to come as well to that afternoon. So definitely. And you might get more help from the church members if you do it on a Saturday afternoon. Any other questions? Sorry, what kind of massage? That's the next thing I'm going to show you. It actually comes with a DVD that shows you how to do a 5-minute massage. And so it is for the, as I mentioned, the back and the arms. Kind of thing. So the main important thing to focus on is never let your hands leave their back. They feel very secure as long as they can feel your hands are there the whole time. So that's your trick is, you know, you kind of want to pick up your hands and stuff, but the trick is just motion all the time. And this is promoting rest. So it's not a deep massage. Men, don't get your elbows in there. It's just a nice relaxing back rub. So anyone can do it. We could check. I can check into that, yeah. But I'll show you now, and you can see what you think.
Massage
as it's good. I mean, it stimulates circulation as well, right? So.
Hello, my name is Chuck Cleveland, and I serve as the president of Health Education Resources. This nonprofit company is committed to producing health materials that can be used in numerous ways to influence the public toward a better lifestyle. In the Her Health Expo program, there are 8 screening programs that have proven to be attractive to the public. One of the favorites is the 5-minute anti-stress massage, or simply called the chair massage. The video you're about to view will lead you step by step through this simple but most rewarding procedure. If you have a partner that you can practice with, you can begin to learn immediately as you follow the instructor.
Chair massage is excellent for reducing tension, increasing circulation, promoting relaxation, and can even help relieve headaches. In the next few minutes, we're going to outline the 4 basic techniques in our chair massage routine: affleurage, petrissage, friction, and depotement. Once you've practiced, this routine should take about 5 minutes to give, and the people love it. Let's briefly outline the 4 techniques.
Effleurage is a succession of strokes applied by gliding the hands over a portion of the body. In petrissage, the skin and muscles are raised from their ordinary position and squeezed, rolled, or pinched with a firm pressure. Friction presses one layer of tissue against another in order to flatten, broaden, or stretch the tissue. And depotement is characterized by quick, striking manipulations such as tapping, hacking, beating, and slapping, which are highly stimulating to the body. Let's start with the preparation. You will want the individuals to remove any extra clothing, such as a jacket, sweater, or tie. Seat the person where they can be comfortable, preferably in a chair where the head and back are easily accessible. Both feet should be planted flat on the floor, and the head should be supported by their folded arms or some kind of face rest. Posterior effleurage. Begin by standing behind your subject, placing your hands on their shoulders. Lean your body forward and press firmly, yet gently, gliding your hands over the entire back, being careful not to pull the shirt or blouse. Next, we'll do shoulder petrissage. With one hand on each shoulder, knead the back of the neck, moving hands laterally to the shoulders and then back. This motion is similar to that of kneading dough. Now start palm friction. Using the heel of your hand, move in a circular motion alongside the spine from the top to the bottom. Work one side first, then the other, and repeat. Next, do digital friction. With your hand, do a stationary fingertip friction of the neck muscles using the thumb, index, and middle fingers. Rub from the base of the skull to the base of the neck. Now it's time to start posterior depotement. Now, using the sides of your hands and with fingers extended and together, hack the back on either side of the spine and on the shoulders and neck. Now finish with nerve depotement. We end the routine with fingertip depotement all across the back, shoulders, and neck. Other important points you'll want to remember. Once you touch the person, don't remove your hands until the massage is completed. In all massage strokes, maintain equal rhythm and pressure. Be friendly and sociable, but don't over-talk. Be attentive to the body language of the patient. If they show signs of pain, you may be massaging too hard. Remember, a massage is to be an enjoyable experience. Ask the individual several times throughout the massage if the level of pressure is comfortable.
Now you have a basic orientation about how to do an effective anti-stress massage. In order to make it easy for you to continue practicing, we have recorded the massage sequence several times for your convenience. May the Lord bless you as you develop your skills in this unique ministry and as you reach out to help others.
It's nice to learn whether you do the health expo or not. Because sometimes it can be just a blessing to others when someone's down or uptight or whatever, too. This is the one I wanted to do.
Let's start with the preparation. You will want the individuals to remove any extra clothing, such as a jacket, sweater, or tie. Seat the person where they can be comfortable, preferably in a chair where the head and back are easily accessible. Both feet should be planted flat on the floor, and the head should be supported by their folded arms or some kind of face rest. Posterior effleurage. Begin by standing behind your subject, placing your hands on their shoulders. Lean your body forward and press firmly, yet gently, gliding your hands over the entire back, being careful not to pull the shirt or blouse. Next, we'll do shoulder petrissage. With one hand on each shoulder, knead the back of the neck, moving hands laterally to the shoulders and then back. This motion is similar to that of kneading dough. Now start palm friction. Using the heel of your hand, move in a circular motion alongside the spine from the top to the bottom. Work one side first, then the other, and repeat. Next, do digital friction. With your hand, do a stationary fingertip friction of the neck muscles using the thumb, index, and middle fingers. Rub from the base of the skull to the base of the neck. Now it's time to start posterior tapotement. Now, using the sides of your hands and with fingers extended and together, hack the back on either side of the spine and on the shoulders and neck. Now finish with nerve tapotement. We end the routine with fingertip tapotement all across the back, shoulders, and neck. Let's start with the preparation. You will want the individuals to remove any extra clothing, such as a jacket, sweater, or tie. Seat the person where they can be comfortable, preferably in a chair where the...
I'll just pause it for a minute. So this evening, I have a short talk in the basement of the lodge, and then everyone's going to have the opportunity to come over and actually go through the health expo this evening. So I'm hoping that a few of you might like to experience it and help me run some of these loops.